Blog Talk Radio.
All right, they're saying they reconnect.
Welcome to Seeking I Am Radio. Prepare to discover the love of Jesus with our host, Bible teacher, and minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, Cheryl.
Hi, this is Cheryl at Seeking I Am Ministries. Welcome to the show. This evening, our topic will be on religious controversy. Was Jesus just a prophet? Or was he the Son of God? These are questions that we're going to answer tonight. And I hope that you're listening. I've noticed that most of the time, you hear people talk about God. And you hear that they're not afraid to speak the word God, but they don't seem to be comfortable with speaking about Jesus. So that's why we're going to cover this up tonight. Let's pray and start off with a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your love. Thank you for bringing to our attention the fact that your name is so powerful and that we need to be free to use it without question. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Thank you for all the people listening to this. Thank you, Lord, for all the different things that you do for us in each and every day. We give you praise and glory. Amen. So it seems as though most people, like I said, feel comfortable talking about God, but they seem to have a hesitation when it comes to Jesus. And sometimes you wonder, hello, are you there still? We're having technical difficulties again. So we're going to continue with the show. I don't really know what you've heard or what you haven't heard because it keeps clicking off on me. So let's start over. Welcome to Seeking I Am Radio. This is Cheryl, your host. We're here tonight to discuss religious controversy about was Jesus a prophet only, or was he the Son of God? These are questions that need to be answered so that you know for sure. It seems as though people are always willing to talk about God, but they have a hard time saying Jesus. And you wonder, do they see Jesus just as a flesh man? Or do they see him as God come in the flesh and his power and authority being his nature also? We know that he's called the Son due to the flesh, but in spirit, he's fully God. We know that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's in Matthew 28:18. In Philippians 2:8-10, it says that he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. So note He has the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, whose name, the name above all names, is Jesus. I don't know, that seems to be confusing.
Hello, this is Cheryl at Seeking I Am Ministries. We have been having technical problems here on Blog Talk, so I just got back on the air. I don't know what was heard and what wasn't heard, but I'm going to start over for the third time. Tonight we're talking about a topic of religious controversy. Was Jesus just the prophet, or was he the Son of God? It seems that people are comfortable speaking about God, but they have a problem when it comes to speaking about Jesus, because they think of him as just a flesh human being, maybe a prophet, I'm not sure. But at the same time, he had a better title than just the prophet. He was the prophet of all prophets. He had God's power and authority in his nature. He was fully God. In his flesh, he was the Son of Man. You know that Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," in Matthew 28:18. Philippians 2:8-10, it says, "He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him, that at the name of Jesus, every name shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Whose name? The name above all names, Jesus. So when you're eliminating that name, think about it. You're eliminating the power that was given to him. If God gave him total authority and power while he was here on earth and from then on, until he puts everything under his feet, then what name should we be using? What name contains the power? It's important that we learn to speak Jesus. It's important that we use Jesus to represent our Lord and our God. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And we know that that name is Jesus. And yes, Yeshua was given in Hebrew, but if you look up Yeshua, it means the same thing as the name Jesus. It contains everything the same. I have a 28-page documentary of names of God and the Son of the Highest. And in this 28 pages, everything points to Jesus. 973 times it's mentioned in the documentation found in the Brit Chadashah, or however you say it, it's C-H-A-D-A-S-H-A-H, that describes the comparison with God and Jesus. If you think about it, in John 14:6, it states that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." But even the demons recognized who he was. And in Matthew 8:29-30, the demons cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? So if demons recognize his name and call him by name, shouldn't we? That seems a little crazy, doesn't it? So the demons recognized it. His disciples, they asked many people, you know, who do you say that I am? And many people did think he was a prophet that came in the embodiment of one of the old prophets, like Elijah or John the Baptist. He didn't deny he was a prophet, but he did say that he was different than a prophet. When they were in the boat, for instance, and the wind, when Jesus commanded the wind to stop, peaceful, the wind ceased. That's in Matthew 14:32-33. Then those that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So that shows that they recognized him as the Son of God also. And a prophet back at that time would not have allowed men to worship him unless he was more than a man. Why then do we have a hard time saying the name of Jesus? That's what I'd like to know. Are we afraid of the controversy we will hear? Even Satan or the tempter knew who he was, and he kept saying to him to prove himself, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. See, he was quoting scripture given by God. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's what he told me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. That's why he was tempting him. He wanted him to prove he was the Son of God. Well, who is Satan to command Jesus to prove it? He was proving it by scripture. Notice that this last paragraph shows we are to live by every word of God. Jesus asked his disciples, like I said, who did they think he was? And most of them, you know, were confused at the time too. Except for Peter. Peter realized that he got the message from God that Jesus was the Son. So when God gave Peter revelation that Jesus is the Son, the word Son is not used to mean a physical generation son. That's where all the misunderstanding begins. The term Son of God does not mean procreation in human terms, but an intimate spiritual fatherhood of God, coexisting with him from eternity. This may be hard to understand with the human mind, but it does not negate the fact that it is the teaching from God. Jesus is referred to as a prophet, but he's also referred to as a priest, as a judge, and as a king, but most of all, as the Son of God. Should we not accept the testimony of Jesus from Peter that came from God the Father in heaven? If we can accept him as being a prophet, then we would expect him to not lie and tell the truth about himself. Otherwise, he would be a false prophet. This is not true, then nothing should be believed about Jesus in any book. The Christ, in Hebrew, means the Messiah. It points to his word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And like I said, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, for God is the one that spoke to you. The Son designates his person in the flesh as well as before he was born. There's so much on this that if you look at John 10:29-36, Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. You know, I'm looking at some papers and I reprinted them and I think they messed up. The main thing is, hello, I'm back. I just wanted to talk for a minute. So we know that Jesus is saying that he has power and authority. He is called the Son of God. He was a prophet of all prophets. He never denied he was a prophet, but he was much more than a prophet. And being the Son of God is the thing that people tried to make into that he couldn't be. Some wanted just to make him a plain man that didn't have any power or authority. The Son, when he says, I and the Father are one, should tell you a lot right there. He was born out of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God, power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Has any other prophet that you know of been resurrected from the dead? Only one, and his name is Jesus. We're going to take a look at Revelation. It actually is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is the good news of the gospel. If you look at Revelation 10, it says, these things say the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. It calls him the Son of God there. If you think about his baptism, and you think about when he was raised out of that water and the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended on him like a dove, God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So if God said it, Jesus claims it, the Holy Spirit revealed it, his disciples knew it, the demons knew it, then why is it so hard for us to trust that and know it? Revelation 12:17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is for repentant Christians who have the testimony of Jesus Christ in them. Jesus' name means God is Savior. I mean, even in Revelations, which is the end of the book, the end of the Bible, tells you over and over again about Jesus being the power and who's coming back but Jesus. Revelation 19:10 says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is talking about the very good news of the gospel of the coming kingdom of God that will rule this earth with Jesus Christ. He's coming back, folks, and it's time to get ready. But you need to know and believe. And if you say God, I mean, there's many gods to many people. God is a title, it's not a name. But a name was given. And the name Yahweh or Yahweh was a part of what was said to be in Jesus. The beautiful world of tomorrow is going to be Jesus Christ reigning here on earth. This is what Jesus spoke about. This is where we all long to be, and the peace and joy that we all crave to live in. It will happen in the future, and there will be no evil. Praise the Lord. If you go back into Mark 1, 11 through 15, we go back into the baptism part. I'm going to go back over that. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved son, whom I love. You I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. This tells of Jesus' struggle with the devil. Satan rules this earth and people worship him. Jesus won the struggle and proclaimed the good news of the gospel, and we are his first fruits, and also have to overcome the evils and deception of the devil to be qualified to become and rule with him in the future. So we need to know, because Jesus says that we're seated with him in the heavenly realm. And if we've received Jesus and we know who he is, we have to overcome those temptations and the evil of this world, because that's where Satan rules. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." You wonder why a lot of people don't know him, and that's the reason they're blinded, because they're unbelieving. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Clearly, that he is in the image of God, that he is God with us, that he is the beloved Son, that he was Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God. And so there shouldn't be all this controversy if people would study the Word, which Jesus was called the Word, and realize who he really is. Revelation 3:5, "He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white." If you're an overcomer in this world, you will be dressed in white in heaven. "I will never blot out his name from the book of life." And there is a book. And in that book is the list of names of the believers in him. "But will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." You know, Jesus said that if you're ashamed of him, that he'll be ashamed of you. And he won't acknowledge you before his Father. But if you believe in his name and believe him, he will acknowledge you. Philippians 2:5 says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So our minds need to be renewed so that we can think the same as Jesus and go out and spread the good news of the gospel to other people so that they have a chance to know who he is also. We need to follow Jesus and believe the truth of every word of his. Pray in the name of Jesus that the mind of Christ dwells in you. And that's going to take you understanding who he is and what the word of God says. I'm going to take a short pause and I'll be right back in just a moment. Well, we're back on the air. You know, I can only imagine what that's going to be like, too. The only thing that I know is I love him and I have him in my heart. I know who he is. I've had so many blessings, and I have seen things that I don't know how many people have seen. I've been in places in my own life, and I have seen His glory, truly. And it was just amazing to me. I mean, things unexplainable, that there's only one conclusion. He has shown me so many different aspects of Him. And when you believe in Him, in your heart and in your mind, you see His wondrous works. And there'll be no doubt in your mind. Let's go to Matthew 1, 22 and 23. I want to read a couple things from Old Testament to New. Matthew 1, 22, 23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." The name Emmanuel was to be the name of the promised Messiah. In Isaiah 9:6, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." These are names that describe what the people would use to describe Jesus. In Jeremiah, it says, referring to the coming Messiah, "And this is his name by which he shall be called, YHWH, our righteousness." That's in Jeremiah 23:5-6. And in Jeremiah 33:15-16. God the Father is named Yahweh, but Jesus' role was to bring the righteousness of him to those who would believe in him. Go on to John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Jesus was the Word." You can also find it in verse 14. Jesus' name was not Emmanuel, but Jesus was the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us, one of his many titles. And sometimes that's something for you to learn. There's titles and then there's names. And even the word God is actually a title. It's not a specific name. Yahweh or Yahweh was a name. Jeremiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." By nature, the son of Mary was Emmanuel, God with us. You can find that in John 1, 1 through 3, 10, 30, and 33, 20, and 28. But by name, he was called Jesus. In Luke 1:30, the angel Gabriel, told Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in you, in your womb, excuse me, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." So there it states you should call his name Jesus. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So what is that saying? His kingdom isn't going to end. He's going to rule it here on earth. And his name's Jesus. Said by an angel to call him. The Son of the Most High. The Son of the Highest. Who is that?
God the Father. Yahweh. God of Israel. God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham.
How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin?
And the angel answered,
the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, to be born will be called the Son of God.
Now that's an angel saying it also.
So now we have angels, disciples, demons, Jesus, God the Father.
We have all of them saying that it's true.
So how can you argue with that? The greatest prophecy that Jesus prophesied, being he is the prophet of all prophets, and there wasn't any other prophet that was sinless. The only one that I know of that had no sin and was able to be on that cross and pay the price for us, only one was Jesus. But the prophecy that was the greatest prophecy that he probably gave was on Mount Olivet. And it's found in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. The prophecy revolves around it. It is found in Revelation chapter 6, and John uses the four horsemen and the seven seals to kind of describe the same things that you're going to get into in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. If you notice, all the Matthew, Mark, and Luke all had it in their chapters, and the only one that didn't was John, because John is in Revelation, and he describes it there in chapter 6. John uses the four horsemen and the seven seals to explain it. And the first four horsemen are emphasized. Revelation 5:5 says, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. So it shows there who's going to triumph. And Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah. We also know that he was given the throne of David. So he's the Root of David. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. He's the only one able. Out of all the prophets, he's the only one able. This is Jesus. He is the only prophet that I can open those seven seals. He is the Lion of Judah. You can read it in two also. The seven souls are these. False prophets. Two, war. Number three, famine. Number four, pestilence. Number five, tribulation. Number six, heavenly signs. And number seven, trumpets. And Jesus will return on the seventh trump. You go into Revelation 6, it says, the man on the white horse brings great suffering on the earth. First white horse was not Jesus, but it will be the Antichrist. It has been happening since Jesus' first coming and has gotten worse up until this time and will continue to get even worse until his second coming. Notice the first and most destructive man on a white horse comes with a bow. He represents Satan. He conquers by deceiving and is a false Christ, false religion. The most intense suffering will come just before Jesus' return. Jesus comes to bring abundant peace and joy. He will protect his people in Luke 17:34. The last white horse brings him. Lord of lords, King of kings, faithful and true. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. His robe is dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven follow him on white horses and in fine, clean, white linen. That's the ones that are his. He will rule them with an iron scepter and will have a sharp sword in his mouth to strike down nations. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit, Revelations 19. If you go to the very end of Revelation, it'll end with, come, Lord Jesus, come. So all these things point to how special it is for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Timothy said, my Lord and my God. He was God with us. He was God in the flesh. And he will be coming back. And he will be bringing his saints, the ones that believe in him, that believe upon his name, that know who he is, with him. So we need to really be strong on that and really get it down in our spirit. And we shouldn't be ashamed or ever have the concern for speaking his name. And you're not going to get everyone that likes it. In fact, I really am wondering, this program here had changed their sound effect. And Satan was really interfering with it tonight. And I'm sorry for the disruption. And I don't know how this is going to sound until it gets further into it. But I had to call it by phone so that I could get across. So I hope you gained something from tonight. I really hope that it sinks in your heart, that you can wrap your mind around it, that you can comprehend it. I'm praying those things for you tonight. And I'm praying that Satan doesn't keep trying to interrupt, which is par. Satan doesn't want this message to be put out there, and he doesn't want people believing it either, even though he does. He knows. And he trembles with fear, just like a demon. So all I can say to you, Satan, is you're already triumphed by the Lord Jesus, and I will still proclaim his name to the very end, and I'm not going to fear. So I hope you get that spirit too, because we're going to need it in these times that are coming. As you could hear by prophecy that was given in Revelation by Jesus. So we all need to really be prayed up. If you don't know Jesus, then I ask that you open up your heart and your mind, that you ask him and invite him into your life. Tell him that you want to know him better. Let him know that you want to believe in him stronger and to keep revealing to you who he really is. And he will come in to your life. And he will forgive you of your sins if you only ask him. So invite him in today. Start him on really understanding who he is and what he's about. Because there's, like I said, there's things coming. I mean, you can just watch the news and see all the things happening. But it said that it would be like a woman in birth pains the closer it gets to his timing of returning. And everything is speeding up. You can see it. So don't delay. Don't keep questioning. Like, I have more time, I have more time. Actually, time is a tool of the devil. You know, oh, well, you still got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. But your life could be over tomorrow. And it could be over tonight. And I pray that it won't be, but that's a fact. So don't delay asking into your life today. And I just want to say I was so proud. Well, I was so proud when I went to church on Wednesday night. We have a Bible class. And the minister was really preaching, and he was promoting the name Jesus, you know, and I kept hearing it. It was after the Lord had got me into this, and it just made me feel really good that I belong to a church that knows who he is. So I invite you there also. It's called Jesus is Lord Ministries. It's at 3000 West Beecher Road in Adrian, Michigan. So you're all invited. If you need a place to go to learn the truth, we're there. And I thank you so much for listening in. Pray in Jesus' name that you'll have a blessed evening and that the Holy Spirit will touch you and draw you closer to him. I give praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus. And yes, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because I'm ready. I'm going to end with this song. And like I said, have a blessed day. Sorry for the confusion Satan put in here. But I know that the message will get through. Good night. Have a peaceful sleep.
Stoplight, you can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom. Kingdom come.